Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
To the Undressing Room Podcast, presented by Macy's. What's up, Mariam?
Hey, Eva. You looking good, as always.
That's you. That's you, sis. That's you came through this week, but you always come through. Speaking of coming through, we have someone very special coming through today. I'm very excited. A special guest, Dr. Uche Blackstock, who wrote about walking away from her career and her marriage. Now, Lord, I want to talk about that, because that is not an easy feat at all.
No.
And speaking of things that are not easy, Will Smith says that there has never, be clear, never been infidelity in his marriage.
Must be two Will Smiths. Now, an article on XL Nicole talks about how she ended up in a 7-year situationship. Are messy. And as always, it goes down in my DMs. We got some juicy ones this week. Some ridiculous ones, I should say. And for the final question to Undress,
this happened.
Look at your face. Anything that makes you go like that, that's a cougar.
I'm so mad.
Yep, so it's going down. Oh. Make sure you listen to hear how we undress this mess on the Undressing Room Podcast, brought to you by Macy's. And speaking of Macy's, there's some spring fashion trends that we got to get into, because the new season brings new trends. You know what I'm talking about? You got to bring the personality like you got today. You got the personality, nice and bright for the spring. Embrace always classy, never pretentious looks from prep masters like Polo Ralph Lauren. That's exactly what you have on, Ashley.
I told you.
Look at that. You was ahead of the trend. I like that. Now, find the perfect rugby sweater or varsity jacket that'll show off your personality at Macy's.com/ownyourstyle. And you can look like a model like Eva, because she got the polo on. So she's rocking that too. So when you're at Macy's as a Star Reward member, you'll earn rewards on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Just head over to Macy's.com/Star Rewards to learn more. Eva, what we got coming up?
I told you, it's the Star Rewards for me. I'm telling you, like, deals are already dope. The prices are unbeatable. And then the Star Rewards. And then don't get the bonus money. Lord, don't get me started with Macy's and sales, because they give me everything I need. Now, I am super duper excited. Now, we have a scholar amongst us today, Dr. Uche Blackstock. She is a physician, okay? And she's a thought leader on bias and racism in healthcare. Now, I can go on for days and days as a mother talking about how different it is for Black women and women that are not Black when it comes to healthcare. So Dr. Blackstock founded Advancing Health Equity back in 2019 with the goal of partnering with healthcare organizations and to close the gap in racial health inequities. Dr. Blackstock received both her undergraduate and her medical degree from the one and only prestigious Harvard. Hello, Doc.
Hey.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
We heard that you recently penned an article in Essence Magazine, and girl, that article had everybody talking. So let's talk about it. You had the life that you thought you wanted. All boxes checked, wife, mother, career, all of that. But it wasn't enough. So how did this article come about, and what made you find the courage to even tell your story?
It took a lot out of me just to even tell the story, but I just knew that there's so many women out there that could relate because of conversations I had even with my own girlfriends about it. And I said, why don't more people talk about this? The fact was that people would have looked at me, my career, my family, and said, they're perfect. And people, we would be on vacation together. People would say, you have the perfect family. But I would also feel so empty inside, because I felt torn. Like I couldn't be my full self. And what I mean by that is that we are so many different roles, right? We are wife, mother, sister, friend. And I think that for Black women, often we're not able to fully express ourselves in those roles.
So what gave you the courage to just come out and speak out about this and to really also share your story? Because you not only did you speak out in your field, but you spoke out about your own personal life. What gave you the courage to do that?
What gave me the courage was just, you know, having the time to process everything. It had been 2 years since I left my career in academic medicine and I had started my company. And then also it had been about a year since I divorced. And so I had done the healing that you need to do. I had been seeing, you know, talking to my therapist twice a month, talking to my girlfriends. And I felt that, especially when 2022 started, I almost felt renewed. I felt like I wanted to sort of redefine who I was. And so part of that was also acknowledging that I had been through these traumas of, you know, having a marriage that ended and also having a career transition as well. But I also wanted to share with people that you can bounce back from that. You can go through the hard times, but you can create a life for yourself. And I feel like that's the life I'm living now that I always wanted for myself.
So let's talk about that bounce back. And a lot of that has to do with mental health. You know, it's one of those things that we're talking about a lot more in the community and amongst us as Black people. But mental health is something that culturally is something we don't really talk about. We definitely don't deal with it. And I read in your article that you saw that your mental health was starting to be a bit challenged and you felt a little bit concerned. So what were the signs and what did you do?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I think also sometimes we are one, scared to ask for help. And then two, sometimes we just don't have that help around us. And so what I recognize is I was, you know, going through my career that it was very intense. There were a lot of expectations of you, but I was also in an unsupportive work environment. And so going to work, I also often felt very anxious. I felt very tense. I felt like I had to watch what I said at work, that I wasn't free to say what was on my mind, especially as a Black woman and witnessing racism and sexism in the workplace and not being able to speak up about it, having to internalize that, that causes harm to us. And then in my marriage also, you know, my ex-husband and I are different types of communicators. I like to talk about everything. If there's conflict, I like to talk it out. He is the opposite, right? And so I noticed that I was just anxious both at home and at work. I was losing weight. When I look back at pictures of myself during that time, I could barely recognize myself.
Oh my God.
And so, but I'm so thankful that I had my therapist who I was seeing every 2 weeks. And I have to say that obviously we want therapy should be an option for everyone, right? It shouldn't be something that only certain people can afford. I think also we need more Black therapists because there's something about having a therapist that understands your own lived experience in this country, right? That understanding, I think, makes the process even healthier and more productive for us.
So what were some of your struggles as a Black woman in the medical field? Because you talk about it a lot, but, you know, can you just share some of your experiences?
One thing that happened was I was handpicked and appointed to a diversity role in the medical school. So I was so excited because I had been doing diversity work for a long time. I care deeply that we are represented among Black physicians and healthcare professionals. So I was doing that work and finally I got recognized for it. I was appointed to a leadership position within the school. And so, but what I recognized is when I would put forth an idea, it got basically swatted down. And what I realized over the first few months of having this role was that they just picked me to be a figurehead. They actually didn't think that I was going to do the work or that I wanted to do the work. So they basically got me wrong. And what I saw from that was that they really didn't care about these issues. They didn't care about diversity. They didn't care about inclusion. They thought they were putting someone in the role that was just going to basically sit there, right? And look like stuff was getting done, but it really wasn't getting done. And then when I started speaking up about that, I became a threat.
Wow.
And I think that's something that happens to us in a lot of organizations, not just medical schools, not just academics, but in a lot of different organizations. It's like they bring you in because, oh, okay, they seem qualified and this and that. But then once you start giving your opinion and sharing your perspective, then you're considered a threat.
So did they try to push you out after they seen that you were like, you had these ideas and things of that nature?
Yes, exactly. They tried to silence me and muzzle me. And I said, you know what? And especially after I had my kids, I just became so focused because I know it's my job to create a better world for them. And I have to stand up for myself. And so I said to myself, I cannot stay in this environment. This is untenable. And so what, as I was going through that experience at work, I actually said, you know what, I am really good at doing diversity, equity, inclusion work. I'm going to start my own company. So I said, let me do this as a side hustle. So I started my company while I was still there as a side hustle.
Nice.
Yes. And so when I ended up leaving, I said, I'm going to leave to focus on my company and grow my company. And that's what I've done over the last 2 years.
Wow.
Stepping out on that kind of faith takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of belief in yourself. So I want to talk about, you know, cutting off what society has to say and what society thinks, especially when you are fortunate to go and be as educated as you are at a university like Harvard and have such a great job and decide to say, you know what, this is not for me. And I'm going to do something that falls more in line with what I'm called to do. What do you say to those people out there in the world that are looking at you like you are absolutely lazy?
I say you have to do it because, one, I always say you take a leap of faith. But a leap of faith in yourself, right? If you don't believe in yourself, who else is going to believe in yourself? But I will that people have looked at me and said, oh, here's this Harvard-educated physician. She's having problems at work. She wants to leave her job. And so what I say to that is we all are in environments that put us down, that don't value us and don't appreciate us, right? And so we have to recognize that, but recognize the power that we do have. We have so many gifts to share. But I had gotten to a point when I was at my old job that I actually thought I was stuck. Can you believe that? Like, I almost want to cry thinking about that. I thought I didn't have any other options. But that's how, you know, workplaces can wear us down like that. Yeah. And so I always want to remind people that we have to believe so much in ourselves. We have to surround ourselves by friends, loved ones who also believe in us and believe in the passion that we have for whatever it is, whatever the purpose we feel like we have. And so that's what I learned from that. So take a leap of faith in yourself as well.
And you walked away from this marriage that you felt like was also another thing that was holding you back. I know that had to be a hard situation to do, but how did you feel after it was finally done and y'all were able to move forward as co-parenting?
I know. I have to say I felt liberated because I would say that for us, I think after we had children, the dynamics shifted a bit because I think once the kids come, there is this expectation. I think sometimes for some men that women will do things differently, prioritize things differently. And I said to myself, well, when you met me, I was a full physician.
That's right.
you knew who I was. I was purpose-driven. I was passionate. And so, you know, even though we had children, there's still a part of me that wants to be more than a wife and a mother. I still care very much, not just about my career, but what I do with my career, the difference I want to make with my career. And I didn't feel like I had space to do that in my marriage. And so I think there can be wonderful, healthy marriages, but I think that each person in the marriage needs to give the other that space to be truly who they are.
Yes,
absolutely. Yes. So have you found someone that allows you to be truly who you are? Have you jumped back out into the dating scene yet? Or are you, you know, taking it slow? Where are you at with it, Doc?
No, I mean, definitely. Right now, I'm not looking to get married again.
Because you're cute. I can hook you up with a few of my husband's friends.
But no, I'm very open about it. Very, very open. I think also for so long, I was on this track from medical school, just like working, training, residency, fellowship, that I never really had a lot of time just to enjoy myself. So right now I just want to enjoy myself, you know, meet some cuties and just, enjoy life.
And I'm crazy, or you have a twin sister?
I do.
Is it like competitive with you and her? Because now you have you're a doctor, a mom, you know, you got your two kids and you got your business. Is she competing with you a little bit, like a friendly competition?
Okay. So you're going to think this is kind of crazy, but she is all the same. She's a doctor. She has her own business. She has a child. She's all the same. Yes.
What?
I know.
What school did she go to?
She went to Harvard with me.
I'm not doing this.
So there literally is there's no competition.
There That's doesn't amazing. Have to be. You guys are the same.
I know.
Different, but the same.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I'm like in shock right now. I wasn't expecting that.
You.
That's why when you were asking me, I was giggling because I was like, oh, they're going to laugh at hearing this.
Oh my God. Well, Your mother and father did something right. God bless them. Yeah,
absolutely did something right.
So tell us about your business.
Yes.
So my business, basically my business, I started it because that's the kind of work that I wanted to do at my old job, but I couldn't. So essentially Advancing Health Equity, we're a health equity consulting firm. We partner with healthcare organizations. It could be medical schools, hospital systems, health startup companies. We work with them to develop a racially equitable work environment. We help them figure out how to deliver equitable care to Black patients and patients of color. So that, because we know that racial health inequities are a huge issue in this country. We know that, you know, Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die than white women from pregnancy-related complications. And, you know, Black men have the shortest life expectancy. So basically, are working with these organizations so they can provide better care to our communities.
And what has the pandemic showed you about inequity when it comes to medical care, considering that medical issues have, I mean, quadrupled 10,000 times over during this pandemic? What do you see?
So the pandemic has exposed everything that was there to begin with and has worsened it. And so what we're seeing is patients experiencing bias when they try to seek healthcare. People without insurance are unable to even get quality health care. There are things called the social determinants of health, like housing, transportation, education. We see how that also impacts the health of our communities, and it's all just worsened in the pandemic. So that's why I think it brings even more urgency to the work that I do. And my twin sister, also her company, Health Justice, also does similar work working with healthcare organizations.
Wow. Now, last week, there was somebody that went viral. I'm not going to speak her name on here, but she went viral after somebody asked her, you know, what advice would you give to women, you know, in the work field? And she said, get your ass up and work. Now, I feel like somebody like you, who we can really respect, who's really done it from the bottom up, who's really put that work in, who there's no excuses, right? You, and not once did we hear you say it was hard or I didn't, you know what I mean? You just keep moving forward. What advice would you give to women right now in the workforce?
Yeah, no, I would say that we have to, one, advocate for ourselves always. You know, we should be negotiating our pay, negotiating our salaries, because we know we make 64 cents to what, you know, to the dollar that white men make. I think also we have to think about, what does success look like? It may not be within these traditional companies. We may have to go out on our own. So, for example, we talk about the great resignation during the pandemic. People are leaving their jobs.
Yes.
For black women, one of my actually very good friends uses the term the great emancipation. That this may be a time for us to be thinking about going off on our own independently and starting our own businesses. So I think entrepreneurship for Black women is the path for liberation, financial liberation, especially. So I think we can think about coming together, pulling our resources to make that happen.
Thank you so much.
I mean, it's one thing for you to read self-help books. It's one thing for you to hear about someone, and then it's different to see you. You look like me. You look like my family. You're tangible. You are. And there's so much beauty in being able to see success like you right in front of us.
Right.
Thank you.
We commend you for all that you do. How can people find out more about your company and more about the things that you and your sister are doing? Like, how could we follow you on social?
On Instagram, it's my first name, last name. So UCHE Blackstock, BLACKSTOCK MD. So that's my Instagram. And then Uche_Blackstock on Twitter. And my company is www.advancinghealthequity.com.
We thank you for everything you do. Oh, all your great advice and everything. And your article was amazing. How'd you get with Essence?
When I was writing the piece, I said, I want it to be an Essence. When you start taking that leap of faith in yourself, you just know, and you're in alignment, you know that everything will work out. And so we sent it to them, and literally they're like, we love it. We want to publish it. They didn't make any changes.
Amazing.
Oh, we just want to touch the hem of your garment, Doc, because you got something special. That is Black girl magic, baby.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming and stopping by the Undressing Room podcast and getting undressed with us today. We appreciate you. And please, please come back, because this is not the end of our conversations with
you.
Nor is this your last article.
No, it's not.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Oh my so goodness. Good. Uche so Blackstock. Good. Give it up. Listen, you know when Lil Wayne was like, she a lady boss. That's what that's a lady boss right
that
there.
That was her right
that's
there.
What
there
I'm she talking go right about. There. There she go.
There she go right there.
Go. Listen, I'm so okay. Here. Okay. Now, there are a few other things we have to address this week. L'Oreal, that was nice and it was cute, but there was some drama in the week too. And your boy Will Smith is in there. What's coming
you
on?
You know we got to get to the messy part of things. We can't just leave it all great.
Okay. Now so on to Will.
So Will Smith said there's never been infidelity in his marriage. He must have been talking about another marriage because the marriage we know, there was an entanglement. Either way, Will Smith recently sat down with Gayle King. He revealed there's never, and I repeat, never been infidelity. Now, Gayle looks stunned, just like Eva looks right now, a little stunned. And some viewers were confused as well, especially after seeing Jada with the entanglement with August. Entanglement with August. Remember that song? Anyway. Well, many said in the comments that people misunderstood what Will was saying. Technically, infidelity means that there isn't permission or communication involved.
Now, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Yeah. So many believe that Will and Jada are in an open relationship. We've been hearing this for years. They've said that they communicate whoever they mess with or deal with as long as both parties are aware. Now, that is not considered infidelity, even if he is 26 years old. But what do you think about the Smiths continuing to talk about their relationship, but not sharing the full scope? Because I feel like they're hand feeding it to us. And I'm pretty sure if it was up to them, they wouldn't have told us nothing about no entanglement.
No, they wouldn't, because it's not our business. Now, I had to do a little research and go to Webster's Dictionary, child, and find out what they said infidelity meant, because I guess what I thought it meant and what they think it meant is different. Okay, so infidelity is an action or state of being unfaithful to a spouse or other sexual partner. The operative word in that is unfaithful, and the unfaithfulness has to do with what people know. So if we are in an open relationship, or if I'm in a situation where it's like, hey, you can, you know, guys let girls have girlfriends. It's like, hey, that's your girlfriend. That's not infidelity, because that has been allowed. And so I think one of the reasons Will spoke up, and I'm not mad that he actually did say this, is because everybody got something to say. With what did come out, with what Jada did say and did the Red Table Talks and what August has put up, and it's out there. But I think, like Laverne Cox on the red carpet asking Will information, or, you know, to further elaborate about this situation, it's like, look, we're good. We are not unhappy at all. What happened, happened. It wasn't even considered infidelity if you ask us, because we do what we want to do. So I just don't understand what people's infatuation is with what goes on behind their closed doors.
Well, I think if that's what they said to us, then that would be what it was. Like, if his reply was instead, I don't understand why y'all so infatuated with it. Whatever y'all know is what y'all know, and that's all we care to share. That, to me, would be even better. But I think the fact that you're acting like you're being an open book and that you're only giving me the introduction is like, stop playing with me. Y'all got to open me. You ain't got to tell me who you dating or nothing like that. But just
but see, an open book is still only what's inside of the book. Sometimes you read a book like Coldest Winter Ever, Such a Soldier, and then when a book is open.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You want some more? Because what's in the book is, that's what I have for you. The rest of it is up to your imagination, or it's not on the table.
We gonna hear the rest when the NDA, the people that didn't sign NDAs come out and tell us more. Because you wouldn't have
No one didn't sign an NDA.
You said no one signed an NDA?
There was no one that did not sign an NDA. Don't worry. No. That person does not exist.
That's funny, because what happened with August then? Because he came along well after they were Will and Jada. That wasn't no back in the day thing.
Yeah, I just
think that was a little messy. So that alone, them being that messy with that, like, we already know that Will goes on vacation with his ex-wife all the time. Like, we know that Jada's not always there. Do we know that, though? Yeah, you don't remember they talked about it.
Yeah, but it don't seem like it's like an annual, hey, it's July, get your bathing suit, let's go on a trip.
It's July, like, but they went places together without Jada.
Yeah,
and
because they have kids. They have a child together. So it's understandable that they would creep.
Family trip. Like, what are you talking about?
But I'm saying, it's one thing to maintain a relationship considering that you're always going to be there. So maybe on a couple of the trips, she was there. But it's not like they just all like, hey, it's a free for all. Everybody come play.
Those happy birthday posts that they be putting to each other seems like they still in love and all kinds. I don't know. Listen.
It's the Tupac one for me.
I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Like, I know he got to be tired of it. I've been tired of it. I'm like, girl, if this girl say,
you're tired of it.
If you put that poem up one more time, sis, it's really going to be a red table. No, I'm joking.
Exactly. So basically, if we want to just reduce and boil this whole story down, it's all confusion due to technicality.
It's Jada's fault because she done put the whammy down on the wrong kid, and now he done told all their business. If it wasn't for him, Eva, though, it still would have just been rumors and gossip that they had an open relationship.
He's personally whack for that. Because what did he gain?
I mean, we talking about him. We wasn't talking about him before.
Oh, yeah, but you mean you gain the whole world for the price of your soul, though. I mean, it's like it's Lauryn Hill lyrics right now.
Oh, let's be clear. He's racking up on the award. He just got his first SAG award. He just got an Image Award. He's gotten all kind of awards for playing.
August Alsina?
No. I'm talking about Will Smith. Will Smith racking up for playing Serena and Venus' father,
King Richard.
And August is lucky.
Let's just talk about it. And Will Smith is long overdue because this man has made project after project after project from Ali. The man is an amazing actor and does not get the credit that he deserves.
I can't believe he didn't have these awards. Is this exactly almost?
So I just want him to enjoy his awards. I want us to enjoy it with him and leave whatever that man does in his personal life with the wife that he decided to get married to before God. Leave them alone.
Anytime I ever heard something about them, it's always Jada's partner that's running their mouth. I'll tell you that much. I ain't heard many Will
Move on. You are listening to the Undressing Room Podcast, and it is presented by Macy's. Now, do yourself a favor. Go over and follow our personal Macy's shopping page at macy's.com/theundressingroom. What else is going on, L'Oreal?
All right. So a woman is explaining her seven-year situationship. Now, a recent article on XO, Nicole was making its rounds on Facebook. Elizabeth Dehan wrote about a situationship turned into 7 years with no title. What the hell was this lady doing?
It's called common law in some states.
She was married. he just didn't agree. Now, it was the moment he said, if I'm going to marry anyone, it would be her, which led her to doing a lot of self-reflection months later, not immediately. Now, they felt safe with each other, and at one point, he was dating two women. She created another person in her head and ended up falling in love with the idea of him. Now, she constantly felt, what's wrong with me? What can I do differently? What did this woman have that I didn't? He always gave just enough hope to make me believe that one day he would suddenly realize how amazing I was and pick me. She was the pick me girl. Since he never explicitly said, I will never be with you, it took her a while to figure out that he didn't want to be with her on that level. She lied to him and said she didn't want anything serious to make him feel better, but she secretly wanted him to want her on the level that she truly wanted him. Now, after 7 years, she decided to leave him alone, and Elizabeth ended up blocking him, so eventually he couldn't slide back into her life. Now, she ended the article with, my bed might be empty, but I am at peace. Were you ever in a situationship in your life?
No, that's not my.
It's always a relationship. Like, it's always been a relationship.
Either it ain't a situationship. Either we just kicking it or we together. But that, like,
but
gray
just kicking
area,
it is not a situationship.
No, because just kicking it is very understanding, and I don't expect nothing from you, and I have nothing to give to you. So I mean, I think for her, there was an expectation she had for him to, to fulfill something. There was a void there that she expected him to fill. And, you know, I think that that is a huge mistake. Commend her for being able to pick herself up, learning her worth and being able to walk away from that situation. But this is a big thing about a man can only do to you what you let him. So there's only so much back burner he can put you on, sis, if you keep going and sitting on the back burner. Like, you have to bust a move. And, you know, I know the term situationship is just not my jam. What about you? You ever been in a situationship?
I would say maybe, I would consider a situation. I mean, I considered this one thing I had a situationship because with me and this guy, I've talked about him before, but it was always one of us in a relationship, you know? So when I first met him, I was in a relationship, but we were cool. And then we got closer and closer because we would always speak. And then when I was finally able to move forward with him, he then got in a new relationship. And then it just went back and forth. Like, it was always like that. But our friendship kept growing over time. So I only consider it a situationship because I feel like we've always wanted to be in a relationship with each other, but it's never been the right time. Yeah. And then also like one time we both were living in the same place and we were like, perfect. And then something happened with his job and he had to move. Like, it's always been something. So I look at stuff like that, you know, because we were both single at that time. And it was like, okay, we're both going to be living in Atlanta. We're both single. We spoke about, you know, whatever we were going to do moving forward.
Considering and like I said, something. Yeah.
Right. And like I said, the job situation happened. So I'm like, am I going to keep trying to force this? Because I feel like God will keep things away from you that low-key's not meant for you. So if it was all these different, high key. So I don't know if it was just meant for us to be friends, which we are still friends.
But see, you know? I wouldn't call that a situationship. I would just consider that like, you know, you guys haven't found proper timing. A situationship would be he married and you messing around with him, or he in limbo with this other situation or baby mama
but
stuff.
But you don't think still speaking to each other while we're both in a relationship isn't kind of...
That's called cheating.
It's a little sketchy.
That's called cheating on the person dating.
But you don't have... we weren't having sex though.
You don't have that sex to cheat. Cheating is anything you wouldn't do if I was there.
Cheating is physical to me.
No, it is not. If you go over to a man's house and put on a teddy and start cooking him some dinner, don't touch him at all. In some negligee and cooking some dinner.
That's close to being naked. That's
cheating.
Like physical.
You don't have to touch. It is doing something that you would not do if your partner was there. It's a conversation.
Okay, so we cheated.
Any of that. Y'all cheated.
we cheated.
I want to know, is anybody cheating up in your DMs? Are they single in your DM?
So this one guy, I don't know. I feel like I need to call the authorities. So he says his name.
What he do, girl?
So first to start it off, what's good, baby? Love your voice. For real, for real. My name is such and such. I'm reaching out to you to see if you can help me and my team. Now, check this out. This is what he started with. To find an R&B artist, and I want you on the rap side of the feature. This is straight business, and I got NFL money. Then he leaves his number. And he says, and I'll give you a finder's fee, a big check. Now, this was all business is what he said, right? Here's the follow-up.
Right, what he said.
Here's the follow-up. So sexy, baby. Natural beauty. I'm waiting on you, baby. Whenever you're ready. Good morning, baby. Let me cook you some breakfast. I'm waiting for you. I promise I'm coming. FBI, send a request. FBI send a request. What is he talking about?
Female body investigator, FBI. Send a request. Got it.
No, I'm going to call FBI on him. So you started off a business, and when that didn't work, you did what? You gave up and did this?
Is he a producer? Does he want, is he just, was what does he want to do?
He looks like a rapping pimp.
Next, move along. I'm sure there are others in your DM. Who's next on the docket?
Okay. You are a very pretty lady. I am very intrigued. Thanks for sharing your world for me to view. I apologize for the men that you gave your time and energy to, and they disappointed you. Heart.
Oh,
I'm bored.
That was a that I like him. It is very complimentary. It is very upbeat. It is acknowledging that you might have some guards up, and he knows that it's fine because men can be suckers. But he's going to show you one that's not. I'm not mad at him, low.
I just clicked on his page. The first picture is him and a girl. I'm tired of these DMs. They low-key disrespectful anyways. Like, I don't know what... Oh, look at this one guy. He just sent me a DM. You are the PS5, two controllers, and a juice box. Yummy. What does this mean? Is that good? It's not funny.
Hold on. Say it again.
I hate this. Say you it again. Are the PS5, two controllers, and a juice box. Yummy.
That means you is a good time, girl.
I'm the fun girl.
You are all he wanted for Christmas. That's all they wanted for Christmas was that PS5. You already know you are in high demand and lovable. I like him. His is literally made me cry. His is my favorite. We can start with him because he did that.
I hate
that. Don't block him. And if he hits up again, please, can we read those next week?
I hate this portion.
Okay, well, then I'll slide into the next portion, which is my second favorite portion of the show. It is the final question to undress. Woo. Now, today's final question comes from advice from a F-boy. We love this person, by the way. I mean, keep putting them up there, baby, because we are saying them. So this one says, so ladies, at what age are you officially a cougar? Also, what is the age gap between a cougar and the guy that's getting cooged?
Not cool. Not cool. That's my first time hearing that. Cool.
So at what age, Lo, are you a cougar? And what do you think is the youngest age for a guy that's like dating a cougar? Like, how young can you go? And at what age are you like, oh, she a cougar now?
So I think that it is like the difference in age, because if you're dating your age, then you can't ever be a cougar. So it's not going to. So it'll be like if you're dating somebody 10 years older than you, I feel like. So you can be a 30-year-old cougar if you're dating a 20-year-old. Black China and Almighty J. She dated him when he was like about 20 or 19, I believe. Yeah.
That's sobering.
So see, that's a cougar. Look at your face. Anything that makes you go like that, that's a cougar.
I'm so mad. I'm trying to understand, like, what am I going to do with a 20-year-old? For some reason, whenever I thought about a cougar, I thought about a woman that was at least 55 and over, and they're dating at least 10 years younger. I never thought about being, you know, just...
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
A regularly aged woman in your 30s and dating 10 years younger. I always, for some reason, when I thought about a cougar, I thought about like big draws. I thought about like bras that got zippers and snaps. You know what I'm saying? Like,
see, I always used to think, I think the definition changed, because when I was younger, I used to think of cougar as just like an old woman that couldn't get nobody but young guys. Like, and the only the young guys wanted her because she was spending money on them. Like, that's what I used to think. When I was young.
So you thinking of it? No, see, that's a sugar mama.
A 50 and a 30-year-old is cougarish. Like,
okay, so, okay, boom. I'm going to give you one. Our good girl, Mary J. Blige. Now, Mary J.
She a cougar on top. She ain't even got to date nobody in no certain age.
It's rare.
She just looked like she had rare. She looked like a cougar, huh? Like, you just...
The whole cat woman.
It's like she won't let us call her auntie, but girl, we gonna call you cougar now. You
can... Hi, you can't call her cougar if you can't call her auntie. What's a younger cat?
A leopard?
She a kitten.
Girl, she ain't no kitten. I love me some Mary, but she ain't no, if she a kitten.
You an embryo, baby. You still in the little fetus. Nah. Now you are listening to the Undressing Room podcast. And that was our final question to undress. Now, if you want your question to be undressed, do us a favor. Follow us over on Instagram at the Undressing Room podcast and DM us for your chance to be featured.
You're listening to the Undressing Room podcast presented by Macy's. Check out our personal Macy's shopping page at Macy's.com/the Undressing Room. And that's going to be it for us, right, Eva?
That's it for us. But guess what? We'll see you back here next week, right? Next Thursday. We'll be right that's back. Right. Get undressed.
We'll be here.
The Undressing Room podcast presented by Macy's is an Urban One Reach Media production hosted by the one, the only Eva Marcille and L'Oreal.
Executive produced by Kobe Kolb Tyner, associated producer Alexis Felder, editing and production by Dunkus, sales and corporate partnership Josh Romani, Michelle Marino, and Kadisha Campbell, research Lori Hall Flowers, digital marketing Sam Stiers, JR Davis, and Tim Hall, digital creative Alvin Francis.
Content provided by MadamNoir.com, Bossom.com, and HipHopWire.com. Stay connected at TheUndressingRoomPod.com. See you at the next episode.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.